You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
Oh, boy. Welcome, faithful. It's Tuesday. It's the John and Wayne Show, and we have a very, very fun show. We didn't go live on time because Wayne and I got stuck in nostalgia 90s. We were talking about Terminator 2, and like we just went off the rails, and it was wonderful. Now I want to work out, and you could be mine, Skynet. But we are here to talk 49ers football. We're going to be talking, obviously, mandatory minicamp, mandatory OTAs, whatever you want to call it. They start today about an hour from now. Going to hear from the coaches later. So this show is recorded before that practice by about an hour. Just kind of stay with that. So I've got some questions for Wayne. One of my favorite things is just prediction time with Wayne. I want to know what Wayne thinks. And so that's going to be a lot of today's show. But the majority is going to be number 44. Who is the best to ever wear number 44? There's a lot of good ones, Wayne. A lot of good ones.
There are. Well, first of all, I mean, it's good to be here. Second of all, the fact that you want to know what I think means a lot to me because I don't want to know what I think. That number 44, I mean, you know, it all depends on how how you want to break that number 44 down as far as roles, assignments, and things like that. Because whenever I think of 44, I think of a fullback. And so I feel like the 49ers have only had maybe 3 true fullbacks, maybe four, 3 and a possible. So it all depends on how you look at it. Because I don't, you know, I don't look at Kyle Juszczyk as a fullback. I look at him as an H-back, honestly.
Yeah. What did Kyle Shanahan? He's an offensive weapon.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And like you can go old school because you got guys like Joe Perry, who was technically a fullback, but like, oh, dang, Wayne's looking. Oh, look at this, baby. How cool. Dude, I didn't know you had that.
So, oh my gosh, she's going to kill
me. Autographed Joe Perry card for those of you.
She's watching this, and I do apologize, but she sent me this, one of his family members. She sent me this, and I never got a chance to publicly thank her, and I apologize because my brain is the worst. But when we talk about Joe Perry, I wanted to send her. So if you're watching this, I apologize if I'm not saying your name because I'm just bad. I just lost my grandma and I'm just off kilter. But Joe Perry was a bad man. I just want to put that out there. So thank you for this.
Dude, and you know, I didn't want to bring it up, but man, Wayne, I do want to say not only do I, but the whole community loves you. And I know she was a total, sorry, pardon my language, badass.
Yeah.
If she had any impact in you. I just want to say thank you for sharing some of that with us. And we love you, man.
Yeah,
and we're here for you. So thank you for the happy anniversary.
Happy
19
anniversary.
Years.
The Ooh. Fact that you're doing a live Ooh. Show on your anniversary is iconic, bro. I'm going to try that. But if you don't see me after that, that means I've been canceled. I've been terminated.
So the only reason why I am allowed to be live right now is because my wife has deadlines at work and she had to work. So here's what happened. I was like, so we've got some stuff planned later tonight. We're going to a concert, whatever else. But she's like, I have to work. And I was like, hey, no worries. You go to work. You just tell me what time I'm on the clock, and then I will be there. And so, yeah, I get to talk football with Wayne, my man. Yeah. I'm pumped.
And thank you to the 49er community and whatever community you're part of. If you're watching this live show, make sure you like, subscribe, all that good stuff. But I mean, I didn't really want to post anything publicly but I realized like my grandma was a badass, and it was just like, I know she just wants me to continue to, she always told me to like, just be strong, you know, provide support, like just things like that. And so I'm just going to continue to go on, you know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah, man. And I appreciate all you've brought to me and my family. Shoot, my kids, both my boys have met you. They don't meet anybody, but they ask about you all the time. And so we really appreciate you, man, and just what you bring. And like, I struggled going from teaching. I don't know about you, Wayne, but I struggled going from teaching and coaching to this because I was like, man, like, I want to impact people in a positive way. Like, that was huge to me. And it took me a while to kind of realize, dude, this community and what we do, and putting like the connections we make and people sending you stuff, like, it doesn't matter what you do. Obviously, some jobs you're going to be more intentional and whatever you are. But whatever it is you do, you can make an impact. And Wayne, you have done that. So I'm just very, very thankful. So let's get to, man, let's go backwards. Why not? Let's start about impact. So I do this best of series and we go one all the way through whatever else. And so we did one. I think we got to like number 40 last off season. So we picked up where we are. And now I haven't done 43 yet, but I switched 43 and 44 because I want to know Wayne's thoughts on this. So the best to ever wear jersey number 44. And it kind of gets caught up between two people. There's way more. Because you've got Kyle Juszczyk, you've got Tom Rathman. They're probably the two most iconic. But I do not want to leave other names out. And shout out to Joe, my man. He says, you better mention Bruce Taylor, number 44. Yeah, Bruce Taylor, John David Crow, Eddie Dove. There are some elite players in 49ers history that have worn number 44. But it kind of breaks down to Tom Rathman and Kyle Juszczyk. And it's interesting because the argument can be made for either one. I put a poll up on Twitter the other day and I was like, all right, I'm just going to see what people say. And I got called a clickbait guy.
Uh-oh.
Everybody was like, that's a big no-no to me. Like, everything that I do is to not be clickbaity, but whatever. But yeah, somebody's like, dude, it's Tom Rathman. And I'm like, well, hold on. Because I do think it's Tom Rathman. I would vote Tom Rathman. But like, Kyle Juszczyk has done some things that Rathman is not even in the realm of. Tom Rathman, for me, spoiler alert, again, I'm not good at clickbait or saving the tension. But what are your immediate thoughts? I want to go through their resumes eventually, but when you're talking Rathman, Juszczyk, how do you...
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, I played fullback. So when I think of fullback, I kind of think of Rathman. You know what I mean? And it's not a shot at Kyle Juszczyk, but he's not really the short line, goal line guy. He's not built that way. He's built a little bit differently. Now, what he can do in the receiving game is bar none greater because he can run routes, right? I don't think Rathman wasn't a great route runner, even though he caught as a check down guy out of the backfield. That's different than running a wheel route or running an out, like lining up out, split out. That's different. Now, I give Kyle Juszczyk that nod because he played tight end in college. You know what I'm saying? So I give him that nod. But at the end of the day, like, when I think of number 44, the first person I go to is Tom Rathman for a couple of reasons. One, he was drafted by the Niners, and he, you know, he really played the position of the fullback. Like, you know, and so I really like that. Like, he was a great blocker, great receiver, and he could run. Like, he wasn't just a goal line guy, man. This guy, I want to know what he averaged. Let me figure that out. I want to know what he averaged per carry, because I feel like he has some big runs.
Well, like, that was the thing. So, like, I see Kyle Juszczyk as more of the athlete, like you said, offensive weapon. But whenever you look at stats, Tom Rathman destroys Kyle Juszczyk in every single category, whether that's rush attempts, touchdowns, pass receptions, passing yards, like, and so, yeah, they're used differently, But Tom Rathman got the ball a ridiculous amount more times. He has over 4,000 total yards, Tom Rathman, 34 total touchdowns. They played the same amount of times. They both played 8 years with the 49ers, which, again, that's weird to me that they're tied as of now for the amount of game, like time, years, seasons they played. But yeah, so Rathman, 4,000 plus total yards, 34 touchdowns. Kyle Juszczyk, 18 touchdowns, 2,000 yards, literally times two. So the stat thing is 100% in favor of Rathman. And it's okay to love both. We're not doing the, you have to pick one or whatever else. But like, yeah, I like Dave's comment. Rathman is easier to spell. He wins.
It is.
How difficult is it? Every single time I type in Juszczyk, I have to stop. I have to go through my
little thing.
Let's try
it. J-U-S-C-Z-Y-Z-K. J-U-S. Hold up. Because I got to write it. I can't spell it.
The Z's have to be between everything. So consonant Z, consonant Z.
Z-C. Is that it? No. I got to write it out. You're right. It's hard to spell. F it. Bump it.
Yeah. J-U-S-Z. C-Z-Y-K.
Yeah. Yeah, I had it mixed up. But when I write it out, I get it.
Dude, you know, I'm dyslexic, so whenever I spell out loud, I'm just like, good Lord. I was watching some reality show with the wife, and they were having to spell things out loud. I was like, I lost that one. That's not me. That is not me. But here's the thing. So let's flip this. Tom Rathman never even made a Pro Bowl.
Because the position was different back then. Like, I don't think fullbacks made the Pro Bowl back then, right?
Well, they did, but every team had one. So the competition was there were 32 fullbacks. So
you mean every team had a fullback? Got you.
So guys that got Pro Bowls over, Ron Wolf had like four. Merrill Hodge had like three. Moose Johnson had like three. So during that time period, you know, Tom Rathman was never the top one or even top two Pro Bowlers, you know, at his position. But then you look at Kyle Juszczyk, eight straight Pro Bowls. But how many teams use a fullback? Five, six?
Yeah.
So, like,
it's different.
It's different. Now, all pro didn't exist for fullbacks back then.
Oh, that's what I meant. That's what
Pro Bowls did.
Pro Bowls.
And so, 8-0.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Kyle Juszczyk got eight. That is ridiculous.
It is. But, I mean, do you factor in what you just said? Is that part of mainly the reason? I mean, it's the number of fullbacks is scarce in the NFL. And if some teams still traditionally use that fullback. It's funny because I get why Kyle Shanahan continues to want to bring Kyle Juszczyk back every year because he is utilized as a weapon, even though he's labeled as a fullback. I mean, there's so many things you can do with him, you know, and we're not spending a lot of money on him anymore. And so maybe I like the fact that he fits this system like none other. And I feel like other teams are looking for the fullback weapon like a Kyle Juszczyk, like, you know what I'm saying? And so hopefully Kyle stops playing around and uses him more like a weapon this upcoming year.
Yeah, yeah, I like it whenever Kyle Juszczyk gets way more. I like short yardage carries. Their fullback over is like unstoppable. You know, you just line the fullback offset to the right or left side. You cross the center into the following. Like, we've done it a handful of times, but Kyle Shanahan won't go back to that. Like, if it's a gimme in a short yardage situation, he ain't doing it. And he's even talked about, like, I'm not going to replicate plays. I just think that's a cheap way of winning. Like, but I'm just like, dude, fullback over works. It works because you're just playing the defensive tackle and linebacker against each other. Anyway, whatever. You need 2 yards, fullback over. It's awesome. So let's go through some. Let's go through these guys. Let's start with Tom Rathman because I know some of the younger crowd. What's crazy is, you know, we're in our 40s. Right? I think you're in your 40s, right?
44, man.
Oh, you're 44.
Hey! What's up, 44? Hey, what an episode, man. Let's go.
So, Tom Rathman, third round pick out of Nebraska. He's in the Nebraska Hall of Fame. He was with the 49ers from 86 to 93. Zero Pro Bowls, but 2 Super Bowls.
Oh, I take Super Bowls over Pro Bowls.
Yeah, anyway. That's huge. That's huge. 8 years with the Niners, had 1 with the Raiders at the end of his career. I hate that, but he still played really well there. 2017, he was the Bill Walsh Award winner as team MVP. 34 touchdowns, 4,000 total yards, 17 playoff games. That's insane. He had 5 playoff touchdowns with 500 plus yards in those 5 games. So he averaged pretty substantial impact in the playoffs. One of the best lead blockers in NFL history. That one definitely goes to Rathman. And then he coached for the 49ers for 8 years, another 8 years. Frank Gore, Garrison Hurst, he was the running backs coach during those guys. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's a lot. Now, let's go to Kyle Juszczyk, okay? 8 straight Pro Bowls in 8 consecutive years for the 49ers. 1 All-Pro, even though that's a brand-new thing that just started last year. 18 touchdowns, 2,000-plus yards, 12 playoff games. He's still 5 playoff games short. I mean, the Niners were just in the playoffs all the time. And in the 80s and 90s, and now this, you know, not this year, obviously, but this decade, they're in the playoffs all the time. So, stat-wise, you've got to go Tom Rathman. Hardware-wise, the Super Bowls are, you know, is 2 Super Bowls worth more than 8 Pro Bowls?
Absolutely. Super Bowl, absolutely. That's 2 Super Bowls. Do you know how hard it is? See, Pro Bowls to me are, I don't know what they were back in the day. But
they valued more back in the day,
they
I think.
They did, right? But were they fan base is what I'm saying.
No.
See, so back in the day, that's why the value was higher. This now Pro Bowls are popularity. You know, how popular you are and getting your fans to vote for you. So it's a little different, has a little different connotation to it. And again, it's not a shot at Juice, but if there's not 32 other players he can compete against compared to 5, I love the fact that he's the best out of 5, but every year he has a 20% chance of being the Pro Bowl player, the from the NFC. Like, you know what I mean?
And that's the thing. So I just looked it up. Pro Bowl incorporated fan voting in 1995. So okay. From 95 on. But being a Pro Bowl quarterback, that's incredible. Being a Pro Bowl fullback, a little bit different. Mm. And so the All Pro, I think, matters way more now. But Pro Bowls used to be everything. A lot of contracts have Pro Bowl, you know, incentives and all that stuff in there. Now
They used to actually play a game, John. It used to be actual football game.
Sean Taylor, baby. Ugh. Sean Taylor, baby. Out there laying people out.
Is he the reason why there's no more Pro Bowls?
We suiting up. We hitting. That's if I got these on, if I'm looking like a warrior, I'm going to act like one.
You know what's funny? I felt like the rules were even when he played, rest his soul, even when he played, I felt like there were still rules. But he just, the rules didn't apply. If he saw you with pads in the football, he was coming. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was coming. Sean Taylor, man. Rest in peace.
Yeah, it's love me some Sean Taylor, dude. I think he could have been one of the best ever, but that's okay. That's okay. So, all that being said, I'm taking, you know, and I probably should have put this up there. Here's the Twitter poll. Here we go. I can do this, right? I'm smart. I can share my screen and make everything kind of work the way it's supposed to work. Here we go. This was
Skynet, baby.
Yeah, Skynet went live. So good. So good. Here is the poll I put out. Who is the best player to ever wear number 44?
It's always going to be Tom Rathman. A, because the nostalgia. B, because I think he was just overall the better fullback. Even though you didn't put fullback, you put best player like to
number
Weir.
44.
I like that.
Yeah, number 44. So, like, it goes across because, you know, you've got corners and safeties and whatever mm-hmm. else. So, like, that's just part of the jersey number. But, yeah, Tom Rathman, 71.9% of the vote. Kyle Juszczyk, 24.5%. Bruce Taylor, just under 3%. And John David Crow, just under 1%. And I like, okay, I'm going to pause real quick because Bruce Taylor was a beast.
Oh, like, 1,000%.
Like cornerback, he was a first rounder from Boston University. He played for the 49ers in the 70s. He had a Pro Bowl. He was the defensive rookie of the year, played his entire career with the 49ers, five straight years without missing a game. Only missed three games in eight seasons. Those old school guys were beasts. 18 interceptions, 15 fumbles. He was Peanut Tillman before Peanut Tillman was born. This dude's Word. Knocking the ball out. Elite punt returner, led the NFL in return yards twice. Played in five playoff games, three straight divisional round playoff appearances in the 70s. And like 49ers weren't that back then. Like that was the most success that team's ever had up to that point. Now, John David Crow, he won the Heisman for Bear Bryant at A&M. He was a fullback. He was a halfback, tight end, move piece. He played in the 60s, won Pro Bowl with the 49ers. And here's what 1960s Hall of Fame, four straight years starting for the 49ers, only missed one game. And yeah, he was the third place vote getter for comeback player of the year in 1965, lost to his teammate, John Brody, and then went back to coach for Bear Bryant at Alabama afterwards. So anyway, just throwing that one out there. Got to give the nostalgia love where it's due. And that's a lot of bad mamma jammas that dude, I'm just a big fan of. And so I don't know that much about the older players. So whenever I do this, it forces me
to do research.
Yeah, you got to get to know these guys a little bit. And there's obviously more amazing players that have worn 44. Kyle Juszczyk still wore. Eddie Dove, he was awesome. He didn't play a lot, but, you know, he was in the Army Reserves while he was in the NFL back in the 50s, 60s. Like, could you that's like unheard of now. Like, you know, be in the Army Reserves and in the NFL at the same time. Oof.
Yeah, that's tough, man. That's tough. That's tough. But yeah, this is I respect those that said the Bruce Taylor. Bruce Lawrence Taylor. How's his name, Bruce Lawrence Taylor? I wanna know if Bruce Lawrence Taylor was his name. No pun intended. That's crazy.
That's a cool name, man.
And guess where he's from? New Jersey.
Jersey, baby.
I'm
look
just
at this.
Saying that because I'm just curious, like, how did Lawrence Taylor, like, how you get the name of Lawrence Taylor? I don't know. I'm just thinking.
I love it. Look at J-Dog Boston. He says, please go to John Chapman's tailgate parties. I'll be in New Orleans, Houston, in New Jersey. That's the only reason why I brought it
Rush
up. I saw the
road
jersey.
Trip.
This year I had the best time in Minnesota. John Chapman is that guy, man. Appreciate that. Really kind guy, man. We were talking football. We were having a good time. J-Dog's the man. So if you are going to any 49ers road game this year, also, we just added, we're going to be doing Vegas, the preseason game. Why not? We got that tailgate set up. Tickets are up for that. So whether you're going to the preseason game or any other game, you got to come party with us.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, man. I can't wait. We're going to be partying together soon, Wayne. Going to be partying together soon, man.
If you really want to party with me, hey.
Oh, dude. That's going to be my playlist today whenever I go work out. it's happening, man. I love it. Flip mo. All right. Let's talk minicamp. What are you most excited about? The 49ers out there, mandatory minicamp, who's going to show up, all that kind of fun stuff. What is it that Wayne is looking for to hopefully find out over these next 3 to 4 days?
Yeah, I mean, look, first and foremost, I'm excited that they're back, right? And this is the first 2 days where they all are probably going to be together, and those that aren't injured will practice. I think I expect everybody to be there. If you had everybody there for OTAs, then the last 2 days of the mini camp portion, I'm expecting everybody to be there as well. Do I expect everybody to physically practice? No, because some players are returning from injury. So Brandon Ayuk will be there, but he won't practice. You know what I'm saying? So like things like that. But no, I'm just happy that they're together. The offense gets to work. Brock Purdy lead charge, watching guys develop. Love what we're hearing about these young players. I talked about it yesterday on my show. I mean, you're hearing a lot of good news from Jordan Watkins, fourth-round pick, the wide receiver out of Ole Miss. You're hearing a lot of good stuff from the development of Jacob Cowing. We do know that Ricky Pearsall was dealing with an injury, so he'll probably be shut down. But Kyle did say certain players will be back for this. He said Ricky Pearsall in particular could probably be ready for mini camp. So we'll see how that pans out. I don't expect players. There's no pads at mini camp, so again, you're not going to get any full contact. But do we get the offense versus defense at the mini camp, John?
Yeah, they'll do some 11-on-11 stuff.
Thank God.
Ones-on-ones. They'll do some of that just on kind of installation, get people together. Now, the 49ers, and Kyle Shanahan's kind of notorious for this. They push pretty hard. And so even though there's no pads, they out there working.
It's kind of tough for you to really tee off on defensively, like who's doing what. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, for me, when I think about our defense, yeah, you could get to the ball first, but can you finish? Like when you can't tackle, finishing is a big thing. I thought, to me, that was one of our biggest downfalls. Like, players weren't finishing, and we were missing tackles. So, you know, it's really – the defense should win the majority of the day, right? Like, you're going to get a lot of that, in my opinion. Even
yeah,
in training
it's kind of like, oh, well, it would have been a sack, but it's a highlight that they're going to share for a 50-yard touchdown, even though
Bingo.
Three people walked by and, like, top – it was always frustrating as a coach because, you know, I was a defensive guy pretty much my entire career and worked for offensive-minded head coaches, and they would, like, put up all these stats. This is what we did yesterday. I'm just like, bull. Bull. That was a sack. That would have been a fumble. That would have strip sack. Like, it's just, it's kind of the way it goes. So it's what it is. Now, I love this because you brought up Jordan Watkins, my least favorite draft pick by a considerable margin, but I love the hype and I hope this dude is the next dude. Do you believe the hype, Wayne? What are your thoughts on Jordan Watkins so far? He seems to be impressing a lot of people.
Yeah, like when I watched the film, he had his like outlier games where he was that guy. And then he had games where they didn't target him a lot. You know what I mean? If you looked at some of the film, he was an okay blocker downfield in the run blocking. But he has the ability to get open. I just don't think he was utilized. I mean, they had so many weapons at Ole Miss. Felt like he just kind of went under the radar a lot. Maybe we found one of those guys to kind of go under the radar, you know? So I'm believing the hype. I believe he has the ability. He doesn't have a lot of drop passes coming into the NFL, and I don't expect him to have a lot of drop passes in the NFL. My key is he's there. He's working on timing routes. That's what he's working on. I saw whip routes. I'm like, yes. Because that's what we loved from Brandon Ayuk, opposed to some of the other things that he did. We loved the way he was able to plant that foot, whip around, get open. And if that's what we're looking for, seems like Jordan Watkins has it in him. So I'm just there to see if he can continue to progress.
Yeah, and I'll say this. Like, I want all the hype. I hope Jordan Watkins is the best wide receiver ever. Like, that's what I want. But Niner Fan 57 just need to see what everyone looks like with the pads on.
That's it.
That's his test. That was Ricky Pearsall's test. I think it still is Ricky Pearsall. Like, horizontal separation, 7-on-7, combine drills. Yeah, Pearsall, Jordan Watkins is going to blow everybody out of the room.
Correct.
Through the contact, that's always been both those guys' kind of flaws and kind of the Kyle Shanahan wide receiver flaw, whether that's Dante Pettis. Yeah, go through whatever you want. When the pads come on, it changes things. But man, I am.
But I do believe Watkins is a more physical receiver than we've seen some of the other receivers come through this regime. Like, you know what I mean? So I think the physicality is there with him. But again, the question is, can he get open with the physicality? And that's what we'll find out. I mean, is our cornerback room that strong? Like, you know what I mean? So like,
You got a couple guys up top.
You got physical guys, but.
Yeah. Look at this. Nick Parr, appreciate the super chat, my man. My bros, great show. Anyone traveling to Rush Road Trip for the New York, New Jersey area, specifically northeastern New Jersey, please let me know. I'll help you out. This is the godfather, Nick Parra. He comes to almost all of our events. He's the man. Probably I call him Oprah because he just gives everything away. It's a problem. You get a ring. You get a hat. Yes. He gives everything away.
Yes.
Every time I turn around, hey, John, I give this guy this. He's the best, man. His entire family. Shout out to the Parra family. You're the best. But, yeah, so reach out. If you want to email me, again, contact with Nick Parra. And if you need some help getting together with Niner fans in that area, we're going to be there. But, email me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. We will facilitate that for sure. Now, one of the guys I really, really want to talk about and want to get your opinion. Talk to me about Alfred Collins. There are two things. Alfred Collins was my favorite player this draft. I'm just going to be honest. But he did have a calf strain. Where's that at? And then two, it's not so much an Alfred Collins issue. There are currently, Wayne, 2 second-round draft picks signed in the entire NFL. Just 2 out of 32, only 2 of them. And they're the top 2 picks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 33rd pick, which was Carson Swisinger, he got a fully guaranteed deal by the Browns. Never happened for a second-round pick before. Then the 34th pick, Jaden Higgins, the Texans gave him a fully guaranteed deal. Never happened before. What are your concerns here? What does this look like with...
Oh, man, they done started some trouble. Not Alfred Collins, but the trend. You know? And so now... You know, you got agents saying, wait, let's hold up, man. Like, let's see if we can get you guaranteed, fully guaranteed. Let's see if we can get it. Even though we didn't have a top second round pick, we had a top 10 second round pick. So I guess that's top. But, you know, I'm not mad at the end of the day. I believe that's why he's not practicing. That contract has not been. You can say calf strain all you want. They could throw calf strain out of there all they want. That he ain't practicing because his contract isn't signed. Period. So,
and I think it's going to be like that across the NFL. Like, this is not a 49. There's 9 guys that were drafted higher than him.
Correct.
In the second round that haven't signed yet.
Correct.
And that's
whoever went 9th to Chicago. Who drafted before us? Chicago?
They drafted twice. They still have their Quinshaw Judkins went 36 as well. So, like.
So, whoever drafted. But I meant the 9th. Because if that 9th gets fully guaranteed, Alfred Collins ain't signing nothing.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Now, here, over the cap, put this up. This is the pass picks number 43 overall, or the second round pick number 11 in the second round. Here's the percent guaranteed the past 5 years. So in 2021, it was a 61% guaranteed. This is the Alfred Collins pick. 22, it was 71%, jumped up to 75%, and then 78% last year. So, man, how high is that going to jump up?
I think the top 10 players are looking to get fully guaranteed money. And I'll leave it at that. After that, I mean, I think players will start falling into place. You know, we'll see more second round.
You just need one. You just need one.
Just need one. But again, I'm not mad. I get it. I totally get it. But... I'm surprised we're not making a big fuss over it because you know how the faithful usually is, but at the end, but they're chalking it up to the calf strain. Let me just let y'all know this ain't got nothing to do with a mother freaking calf strain.
Oh man, and you know what makes it even worse is the Seahawks are the next up in pecking order. So that 35th pick, the next unsigned, you know, second round pick is Nick Imanwori for the Seahawks. So like the 49ers have to wait on the Seahawks, Browns. Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of guys. there. And some first round picks aren't even signed. Just this morning, the Cardinals signed Walter Nolan, their first round pick.
Wow.
There's still five first round picks unsigned. Now, Mikael Williams is signed, so that's done. Yeah, so the 49ers are ahead of the curve, but I don't expect to see Alfred Collins out there.
Yeah, I think he'll be signed probably by training camp.
Yeah, it's going to take a minute, and why rush it? Like, even if that calf strain is healed, which I hope it is, it's just like, you know what? Defensive tackle translates easy. That is not one of the if this was a corner or a wide receiver or a quarterback or a linebacker, it'd be a little bit different. It's not.
Even edge rusher. Even edge. It would be different. Yeah, like, you know.
It's easy. So I think he'll be there, but he'll be on the sideline. He'll be suited out. But I think he'll be staying on the sidelines.
He'll be there. Like I said, I think everybody that's on this, 90-man roster is going to be available. It's going to be there, and then those that are injured won't participate.
Yeah, and right here, fifth and casual. If Collins doesn't sign, does he become an undrafted free agent? No. The new CBA says if you don't sign your deal as a rookie, your contract tolls. So he'd be a rookie again next year on the same contract.
Correct.
So, no, there's no – the idea of the new CBA was to get rid of this Michael Crabtree kind of whatever stuff. But, yeah, the Browns entered into new territory and guaranteeing that. So the agents are fighting, and, hey, man, I hope they all get paid. But, it's what it is. Now, here's my question to you, and it's Alfred Collins related. I'm just going to be a spoiler. My answer is Alfred Collins. Which defensive rookie do you think makes the biggest impact this year? Obviously, Mikael Williams went first, Alfred Collins, CJ West. You got Upton Stout, Nick Martin. I mean, there's a lot of them.
Impact?
Biggest impact this season.
I think it's going to be Nick Martin, bro. I think he's going to be linebacker too. And I've said that though at the beginning. I'm going to stick to it. And I like D. Winters, and I'm glad that he's definitely improving and he's getting better. And he's probably like the most improved in the group of the linebackers. But it's something about like just being able to have a knack for the football and being able to fly to the football with least amount of mistakes. Now, as far as Nick Martin and coverage, I mean, that's something we'll have to see once camp starts. But as far as playing linebacker, I think it's just natural to him, right? Like that's just naturally who he is. And he naturally has the speed. And I think he might be the same. I think him and D. Martin might run the same 40. I can't remember off the top of my head. But at the end of the day, he might have been sub 4.5, and Nick Martin might have been, Winters might have been 4.53. Can't remember off the top of my head. If I do remember, god dang, I'm good. But they're fast.
4.49 D Winters.
Yeah. Oh, 4.49. So they're both sub 4.5. Wow. What was Nick Martin's?
Nick Martin ran a 4.53.
Oh, so he was the 4.53. Okay, so I had him mixed up. At the end of the day, like they're fast. But I feel like the processing, the cognitive ability of playing linebacker, knowing the difference between run, knowing the difference between pass, knowing what to do, I feel like that's who Nick Martin is. And when he's healthy, golly, good luck, because he plays it like a freaking general, bro. And so now Fred Warner doesn't have to really overcompensate for just a person playing football. Like the cognitive ability to play that position will be great. Now, will he be weak side, strong side? That's a good question. I still like D. Winters. I think D. Winters is pretty decent in coverage. I would like to see him take better angles when it comes to making the tackles, but the speed is there. Like, and the question is he improving? And according to the reports, he is.
And like, again, to put this into reference, the 4.53 that Nick Martin ran, that's the top 90 percentile of all NFL linebackers. Like that is super fast. And what Nick Martin's even better at than D Winters is that 10-yard split. So his acceleration is better. His top end speed is not. Mm-hmm. So elite speed, both undersized. This is a Robert Saleh kind of trend. So the idea is you beef up the interior, CJ West, Alfred Collins, these big old dudes up front, lighter in the backside, so you have the speed. So you got beast up front, speed in the back.
Yeah, but you got speed that can tackle. I think you have speed and physicality. I think the key to what you just said, though, was to have these defensive linemen soak up these offensive linemen. The issue was the offensive line men were getting to the linebackers. They were getting to the second level. And even good old Fred Warner, the greatest linebacker in the NFL, couldn't figure out and shed them big-ass 300-pound guys all the time. He just couldn't. And so that's why you had to go monstrous up front. And, you know, that's what they do. And now these linebackers can play downhill. Those gaps will be able to be fulfilled properly. And you'll get a lot of less missed tackles.
Yeah, I like that. Now, let's flip to the other side. I've got a plethora, if you will. Could it be El Guapo? A plethora of questions about the wide receiver position. So, one, when Brandon Ayuk returns, Brandon Ayuk will be the X wide receiver. Who is the Z? Does Juwan Jennings go back to just his slot only role? What happens to Juwan Jennings whenever Ayuk returns?
So, no, I think that's what's dope, right? Because you can have two X's. You could probably, like, Juwan Jennings to me is the movable option. Now, does he play Z? Absolutely not. Like, I wouldn't put him in the deep.
Remember they gave him that one handoff that one time on accident?
I was just talking about it yesterday, bro. I defended him though. I defended Juwan. I defended you, bro. Like, yeah, you're slow, but that wasn't your fault. Jake Brendel just missed the block. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, that was a Brendel missed block straight up the middle. Like I don't even think Jake Brendel knew he was supposed to block. And so, man, so that right there, John, was on Brendel. But I still don't want him as the Z. You have too many faster options. Jacob Cowing, hell, Ricky Pearsall. But I think that the Niners have these interchangeable guys that can be movable and each, you know, as the X or as the Y, or as the X, the Y, the Z. So when you take players off the football field, you know, you're not really losing anything. You're gaining. I think that's what Kyle Shanahan, I think it's the route he's going. So I think Juwan Jennings can still play the X. You can move around Brandon Ayuk, or Brandon Ayuk can line up and as the X, you move Jennings to the slot. Jennings to me is a slot receiver. He's a big slot guy. I love it. And it's funny because he's not fast, but he's quick. And I think people keep forgetting that in the slot, you don't have to be fast. You have to be quick. And if you make that one guy miss, then you turn on the Jets.
So will his snap count go down a little bit whenever Ayuk comes back? Or does Ricky Pearsall's go down?
No, I think when Ayuk comes back, you're easing Ayuk back in, right? I think he's the guy you ease back into the lineup. You're not giving him full-blown work. You're giving him touches and things like that as you ease him back in there and targets or whatnot. And you're trying to just see how quickly he's able to, if he fully recovered from the injury. Just you're testing him out for a game or two. But if he shows you that he still has that high production, yeah. But I think Juwan Jennings is wide receiver one going into this season.
Okay, so here's where I was trying to get to. So wide receiver one going into the season is Jennings. Back into the season, assuming Ayuk comes back healthy, he goes back into his kind of more traditional slot, versatile role, whatever. But I think target the snap's going to go down a little bit for him.
Of course, because now you're interjecting your receiver, right? But again, you're easing him back in. So I don't know if the targets or snaps are going to go. John, it comes down to the defense. Who's the defense going to cover? Are they going to double Jennings? I feel like no matter how great Jennings do, they don't double him. That's why he's winning.
Because he's not a threat over the top.
He's not a threat over the top. So I don't see his – maybe the snap count goes down, but maybe I don't see the targets. Because when he's out there, that's who Brock's going to look for, because Brock is smart as fuck, and he knows my guy's going to be man coveraged.
And even if he's covered, he's open because he's so tough.
He can throw the ball way up in the air.
Okay, so here we go. Who has more receptions this year, Ricky Pearsall or Juwan Jennings? Yeah, I've struggled with this one. I'm going back and forth because I'm like, man, yeah, Jennings early, but then if Ayuk does come back healthy, I think Pearsall's numbers are going to kind of be, they're going to be what they are. I don't think his snapshot target share is going to change with Ayuk or Jennings or not. I do think Juwan Jennings goes down just a tick. So, I struggle with this.
But if they do go down, it's okay, right? If it's for the greater good of the team, right? That's what we're talking about. Like, I don't want to force feed anything, but I want production. And so, I'm going to be honest, Sean. I don't care who gets the goddamn ball. Get positive yards. If you get the ball, get positive yards. I think that's, for me, where I am now. Because I do expect more from the veterans or the players returning on year two, I just expect more, and there's nothing wrong with that. So Ricky Pearsall is going to get opportunities if he's healthy. Jacob Cowing, when he's out there, he's going to get opportunities. Like, these guys are going to get opportunities, but I don't think it matters who's one, two, or three. It comes down to Brock, make the right decision, and then execute whoever gets the ball. I don't think it matters. I don't think I'm caring at this point. Me, I just want us to win.
Yeah, I guess my problem is, like, I've got some best ball drafts. I've got some fantasy drafts. So
understood.
I'm trying to, like,
understood.
So this is where my mind's at. Like, well, who's going to be the guy the whole season?
I don't think there's a guy.
I don't either.
I don't. If you're playing fantasy football, hear me out.
CMC, Kittle, and then.
That's it. Waiver wire. I play those guys off the waiver. Not CMC and Kittle, but the rest of the guys. I play him off the waiver because you never know who's going to be the receiver. And it sucked because even with Brandon Ayuk, he struggled fantasy football at times because there were a lot of times they went to Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk doesn't eat. So I don't draft the receivers from the 49ers. I draft Kittle and I draft CMC.
Yeah, I like it. We got some super chats. Slick68.
Yeah.
He says, you got Stout the F out. I love it. I could hear the Friday in there. And, man, I love Stout. And
that's my favorite draft pick.
I'm curious how soon he starts.
I can't wait till they put on the pads.
That's where he's going to excel, even though he's the smallest dude on the defense.
Doesn't matter. He plays big.
Mighty Mouse, man. Mm-hmm. He just – it's like – the tape says, like, he is offended at all times. Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he's just a ball of anger. And I freaking love it, man. It's my favorite thing about him. So, Stout, yeah, maybe we didn't give him the attention in the conversation that we should have. But, man,
because you said most impact.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know if Robert Saleh is going to use the nickel position as much as Nick Sorensen did. I don't think he wants to, but he doesn't have any choice depending on how these teams come out. But we got linebackers that can run just as fast and can cover. So it's going to be interesting to see how Saleh's defense is out there on the football field.
Marcus Siegel can play nickel.
That's what I'm saying.
Jacob Robinson can play nickel. You've got, obviously, Upton Stout can play nickel. Demo can play, like, Renardo Green can play nickel. Like,
the options are kind
of
like.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
I want to see how it's going to go. But Tommy, my man, appreciate the super chat. Finally watching Dumb and Dumber live. That's what's up, man. Hey, that is a compliment.
That's a compliment. That's one of the greatest movies ever.
Dude, I still watch it with my son, 16, 21-year-old, and they
freaking lose it. God, dang.
We old, man. You seen them grow up.
Yeah.
Oh, what's up, Grand A in the house? Thank you for the super chat. Probably late for the number 44 convo, but Rathman always made me think of Ram. Man,
that dude maybe was the tough pads to bring down.
Dude, he had the big
neck brace,
cowboy collar, all that stuff. Yeah,
had that neck brace, man. It's like if you don't see that neck brace, you're not a fullback.
Oh.
But to be fair with John, he asked greatest player. And so I automatically went to the fullback because when I think of 44, well, we also were talking about Rathman and Kyle Juszczyk, and then that's what made me think fullback too. But there's some other positions that wore that number that were dominant. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, freaking love it. Oh, makes me happy. All right, let's go back to some more 2025 predictions. Who gets the most rush attempts this year? Isaac Garrido or Jordan James? Yeah, that was easy.
Oh.
But I'm saying out of these two, Jordan James, the rookie, or Isaac Garrido?
It's going to be Garrido, man.
You think so?
Can I talk? Bobby Taylor loves Isaac Garrido, okay? And when Bobby Taylor loves you, it's a wrap. It's when he doesn't love you. You can rush for 1,000 yards, and he has to use you because he has no other option, but he doesn't like you. That person's not on his team anymore. But when he loves you, oh, man. And I think he gets more rushing attempts. And I like how you asked that, but they're kind of like almost like the same player, but I think Garrido's just a bigger back. You know what I'm saying? He's bigger. And he has
bigger
more speed.
And faster.
Yeah. And he took the word and can catch better.
That's who they want. And it's funny because when they talked.
I actually like Corey Kiner kid out of Cincinnati.
He's fun, man. He's a fun player. We always fall in love with the drafted free agent running back. It's the Shanahan way.
That's the Shanahan way.
Generational. We did the same thing with Daddy Shanahan.
It's all Bobby Turner, though, man. We give Shanahan way too much credit. When Bobby Turner is responsible for the running backs. When Bobby takes a pause, then other people can have a say-so. But when Bobby's here, he's in charge of the running backs crew. Like, and he got an undrafted kid. I don't know how he went undrafted. But damn, the competition is about to be fierce. And you got to think about the rest of the room. You still got Israel Abanaconda here. You signed what's the name back? Patrick Taylor Jr. Back for a 1-year deal. It's gonna be tough to make this roster, dog.
And whoever you don't keep is gonna get got. Like, it's just what it is, because Shanahan running backs, everybody loves them.
That's right. The Rams, if it's an undrafted guy and they get got, I'm cool with it. It's a draft pick.
And Cody Schrader last year, I freaking love that dude. He went to awesome.
Kansas City?
He went to the Rams. They to never the Rams. Used him, but Rams. They held him. He's still on their active.
The Rams, yeah.
Gosh, man, we could have used him some last year. But I'm curious, because when you talk about Jordan James, I'm not saying Bobby Turner didn't like him, but they were like, oh, pro day, Shanahan, pro day. John Lynch, pro day. Even the front office guys, when they talked, they were like, pro day. So, like, yeah, does Bobby love?
I think he does, though. I think for Bobby, he's unable to travel as much, and I think that's the guy. Like, go check this guy out. Look at him, and then they fall in love with him. Like, that's like you telling me, hey, Wayne, go to the event. I want you to keep your eyes on one certain player. Well, it's gonna be hard for me to evaluate the other players unless they do something that really stands out, especially at a pro day. That really stands out, because usually at the pro day, there's only one running back running. So if your thing was for me to watch the running back, then I want to make sure I'm watching everything that you said he could do. Can he do it? So I think Jordan James is nice. So at the end of the day, but he only had one good year because he was behind Bucky Irvin.
Yeah. And that's that dude's.
But he had a good year.
Yeah.
Like, you get what I mean? Like.
So here's the question. Are we going to see any true two running back sets? We saw it with Christian McCaffrey and Debo, if you want to call it that. Like, is there a way that Kyle could adapt?
Now, this is where Kyle comes in. So I said Bobby Turner. This is where Kyle comes in. So Kyle comes in if it's the trust factor, right? So if he don't trust you, sorry. That's why you saw overloaded Debo, because I just don't think Kyle was trusting everybody. But the person that was helping himself out was Isaac Garrido.
Yeah.
Because he found ways to stay healthy and he found ways to make explosive plays. Isaac Garrido is an explosive play running back. He always has been. He always will be. He is not a bell cow running back. He's not even here to be a bell cow running back. He's here to be a player that comes in, and can you get me an explosive play? Can you give me 10 plus yards on that player? Can you catch a crazy ass pass on that play? Like, that's what he's brought in here for. And with a full load of Christian McCaffrey back, hopefully we see that. I would love to see both of them on the football field. You know how hard it would be to cover those guys?
Yeah, I remember when I was charting plays for Isaac Garrido, and it was like 1 yard, 2 yard, 2 yard, 1 yard, 0 yard, 60 yard. Like, how do you get That's those funny. Explosives?
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? Like, all right, we're not going to feed you 20 times. You gotta hit the home run.
But don't you think a couple of things to that, though, right? Like, number one, the ability of the player to be able to self-correct on the fly, and I'm not the only crazy person that feels like if everybody did what they're supposed to do, I feel like all Kyle Shanahan plays would work. Like, I feel like he's
that's how he
great.
Draws them up. He draws them all up to be explosive.
Right, but yeah. That's hard, because now you're asking 11 players to do 11 different things at the same time. And I get it, but that's Kyle's expectations. Like, I'm not mad at it, but sometimes you got to have some room to ad lib in those plays. And, you know, the issue to me with Isaac Garrido last year was his ability to read the outside zone. And he got it.
He did improve. He improved.
He improved. So my thing is, I'm assuming he's going to even be more improved.
Man, if he takes
to bringing
up,
in.
They're betting on it. You trade away Mason.
Yeah. Opposed to the guys you drafted. I mean, you drafted running backs because, I mean, that's a position that just stays dinged up. Like, you know what I'm saying? And hopefully one of the guys you drafted will be a replacement for, you know, some of the veteran running backs here at some point, you know?
Yeah.
That's why you draft a guy. Reset the market.
It's going to happen eventually. So, Wayne, talk to me. What's going on your channel this week? What can we look forward to? Everybody needs to go check out the Wayne Breezy Show wherever you watch and or listen. What do you got going on?
Yeah, so my channel, I'm going to be just doing little breakdowns of reaction videos and stuff like that. I'm not going to be live too much. I did a live show yesterday, and I just can't really focus on the live unless something comes on I can really talk about it and have y'all. Because I like the interacting, like, you know what I mean? So the next couple of weeks, I'm going to do as much as I can this week, because I know next week I'm going to be really down, because that's the funeral. But I'll be back. I'll get back into the swing of stuff, like, for sure, for those that are like, what the hell's going on with Breezy? I promise, I will. Just give me a little bit of time. But I will, I like being here, because I don't have to really think. I could just talk and react, which is how I need our football players to play this year. I'm good, and I appreciate you hosting the show. You know,
well, man, Wayne, we love you. You are the Tom Rathman of 49ers content creators, and I mean that in the best possible way, man. We love you, brother, and
because we're with you. After I finish playing 8 years, I can coach for 8 years. That dude is tied to the. I don't even know why we got rid of him. I like Bobby Turner, that's Kyle's guy, but man,
he moved on though. He moved on after the. Chip Kelly, I think, was whenever he moved on, and he went and coached for some other teams.
Got you.
So I think it was, man, Chip Kelly, dude.
he turned everybody off from football, man.
All he does is just ruin.
Now he's back in the NFL, right? He's the offensive coordinator for who?
The Raiders. He's got Genty there. He's going to do well. I think certain people can be good coordinators that just aren't head coaches. Like, you should never be in charge of other humans if you're not a good person. Chip Kelly's not a good guy. Like, he's not a nice guy. He's not. It doesn't mean he's not great. It's like Josh McDaniel, or
he's just North a terrible Turner freaking head coach. Period. Point blank. Ain't no way to sugarcoat it. He's horrible at head coaching.
Yeah.
Continue to coordinate, and we'll see you for preseason football.
There we go. I love it. We'll be out there tailgate. That's going to do it for us today, Wayne. We love you, man. And for everybody else out there, stay strong, faithful.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.